Hello, world. Welcome to the Skid Create podcast. I'm Ben Harwood, instructional designer here in LEDS in the Lucy Scribner Library. Today, we're going to talk about financial literacy and a digital website that a student created on the subject. So, Julian, can you please tell us a little bit about yourself and your project?
Absolutely. First off, thank you so much for having me here. It's a pleasure to be with you today. So my name is Julian Wise. I'm an economics and environmental science major here at Skidmore. I'm a senior, so I'm class of 2024. Financial literacy has always been a passion of mine. I started listening to my first financial literacy podcast when I was 16, and actually during the pandemic. So COVID hit when I was 17, so right before I was able to invest my 18th birthday. I was going through the library website, my local hometown library of Reading, Massachusetts, and I came across these courses, and it said the great courses. And I was like, what are those? So I did a little more digging, and these great courses, it's a collection of over 800 different courses about a variety of topics. Mm-hmm. And I was scrolling through. I've always sort of been interested, as I said, you know, in financial literacy, but it was sort of just I listened to this podcast every once in a while. The podcast is titled Money for the Rest of Us by J. David Stein. I highly recommend it. And I stumbled in the business section under skills. There's a section dedicated to financial literacy classes. Hmm. So I started watching one, and it was titled Understanding Investments. And I sort of fell in love with it. Wow. So, of course, you know, during the pandemic, people had a lot of extra time. This was March of 2020, and I was a junior in high school. So it was, I didn't really have a lot of homework, and I was sort of looking for something to do. So I started binge watching these great course episodes. And I remember you're sort of fast forwarding a couple months. You know, I'd watched a couple episodes, been interested in it. Really, you know, a couple episodes turned into a couple series, which then sort of turned into me being very excited to turn 18 so I could open up a retirement account, which I think is not super common for an 18-year-old. But that's sort of where, you know, I've been able to pursue my passion. And, you know, I'm not saying I'm going to retire by age 30. You know, I still need to build up my account. But that's sort of where the onus started. And, you know, as I started to invest, I bought, you know, a couple stocks here and there. And now seeing my portfolio has grown, it's just interesting and fulfilling, especially to sort of look back and see where I started from. I mean, both my parents are chefs. I come from a middle-class household. I didn't necessarily have access to, you know, financial literacy resources through any professional realm, any, you know, official pathway. So I'm grateful that there are these courses that are out there, but they're not super well-known. I really had to go search for them.
Okay. So great courses. You came across that. Were there any other courses on there that caught your attention, caught your eye?
So as I said, both my parents are chefs. They have some great courses, and no pun intended, also on, you know, teaching people how to cook. The president of Skidmore College, Mark Connor, he actually teaches a couple courses on there.
Oh, wow.
About Irish poetry and Shakespeare. So there's a wide range of topics. I mean, if you're interested in, you know, weightlifting, there are weightlifting courses. If you're interested in, there's just so many. Sometimes it can be sort of a little overwhelming. Mm-hmm. But if you're interested in poetry or learning how to write, there's a wide variety. I mean, you could spend literally your entire life watching all those courses.
Wow. So during the pandemic then, watching great courses, watching in particular on topic of financial literacy, you've become certainly financially literate.
I think.
For an 18-year-old, for a Skidmore student, what's your sense of the average, you know, Skidmore student, but let's say, you know, young people in their early 20s in general? I mean, is the population financially literate in your experience?
I think that's a fantastic question. And to sum it up, I would say no. Unfortunately, financial literacy is not really taught in schools. I did do a financial literacy course in middle school, but I remember it was basically a joke. I mean, we did some online course. I didn't take anything away from that class. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say after completing that class I was financially literate. I mean, it's sort of an unfortunate reality that a lot of people don't know about even something simple as, you know, investing. What's indexing? And we'll get into all of that in a little bit. Even just talking from family friends and my peers at Skidmore, a lot of them want to know about financial literacy, but they don't know how to They don't know how to know. And it's that's where showing people where access to a resource is incredibly important. So that's really what started my onus for this website, which we'll get into in a little bit.
All right. So if you had to sum it up very briefly, what is financial literacy?
So I think that's a great question. When I think about financial literacy, I think about the movement of money. So incoming into your – if you think about a bank account as a stock, you know, and not a stock is in the stock market, but a stock is in a collection of a resource. What comes into your bank account is your income. It's your inflows. For most Americans, this is a paycheck. For your outflows, there are five buckets. The first one being paying your taxes. There's sort of no way around that. And then the second one being paying off debt. So especially, you know, as a college student, I have student loans. So student loans and, you know, throughout life, you're probably going to have debt, whether it be a car loan, a mortgage, yada, yada. There are two ways to paying off debt. One is the avalanche method and then the snowball method. And I think so the avalanche method means you're paying off your high interest loans first, whereas the snowball method is you're paying off your smallest debts first.
Okay. That makes sense.
And then
– So let me ask you a question, though. Which one is better?
So that's a great question. And when I think about the word better in terms of, you know, paying off debt, it's what is your end goal? In terms of the avalanche method, you if you have loans across a variety of categories, let's say you have credit card loans, you have student loans, you have a mortgage, you'd be paying off your loan with the highest interest first. Regardless of the loan balance. What this means is that this is the cheapest method. So you'd be paying the least amount of money because your high interest loans are accumulating interest and, you know, faster than all the other loans. In terms of the snowball method, this is you're paying off your smallest debts first. The difference between these two methods in terms of outcome is psychology. And you know, I'm not a psychology major. I want to sort of preface that importantly. But it's important that we understand, you know, as humans, are we more, you know, if we see and we get overwhelmed by the amount of loans we have, is it more likely that we're going to, you know, pay off our loans and continue with a plan if we see progress in terms of paying off all the small loans? Oh, I just paid off this. I just had a bunch of small wins. Versus, you know, just because it costs more money, you know, for your high interest loans, but those look overwhelming, do whatever you think is going to get you to a point where you're going to pay off all your debt. Because eventually, that's sort of the end goal. You want to pay off all your debt. And so going to the third bucket here, you know, you're paying your taxes, you're paying off debt, saving in a private retirement account. The reason why I nuance private is because a private retirement account is different from Social Security. For many Americans, Social Security is just not enough. And a private retirement account could be a 401k, a Roth IRA. There's a lot of retirement accounts. That's not an exhaustive list. If you work for you know, a nonprofit, you're going to have a different retirement account. But it's all, you know, basically the same premise. You put in either pre-tax or post-tax dollars, and then you go from there. The fourth bucket is saving for future expenses. So this is different from investing because this is liquid money. So you want to take this, you know, part of your income and you want to save it for a rainy day fund. You want to be able to have an emergency expense. Let's say you have a car maintenance issue and you need to come up with $800. It's important to put money in a savings account. I recommend having two different savings accounts, you know, a savings account for you know, for just like a traditional savings account, if you're saving for like a vacation or something, and then just having an emergency one. That one you don't touch, just in case you need it in the future. And then I think it's important to differentiate between savings and investing. So investing is putting money in, you know, a brokerage account, or most likely for Americans, putting into a retirement account. You can't touch that money before you retire unless you're willing to pay penalties. I mean, there are of course some exceptions. And so saving, so some people use it interchangeably, but it's not. Savings is just putting money in a savings account, liquid assets. Investing, putting money in a retirement account or any sort of brokerage account. And so the fifth bucket, so, you know, you're putting all your money into taxes, debt, retirement account, future expenses, and then the last is current income. Some of the best financial advice that I ever received is from Professor Fullenkamp of he's a lecturer through the Great Courses. And he talks about the importance of valuing spending money today versus spending money in the future. This is known as the time valuation of money.
Okay.
And he used a shoebox analogy. So if you, current you were to put money in a shoebox and give it to future you and the money would be higher, would future you value it more than present you and vice versa? And the importance of this is to showcase that you don't want to save 100% of your income in a retirement account and not like your life today. Financial literacy is understanding these five outflows of your money, of this stock of money in your bank account, and being able to properly allocate it so you enjoy life today and you also are mindful of your future life. Assume anything, but I think it's safe to say that most people don't want to be working into their 70s. You want to have the option. If you want to work into your 70s, great. But I think it's helpful to have the option to retire when you're 65 or even, as population dynamics shift, maybe a little bit later. But it's just sort of planning to be hopefully debt-free by the time you retire. All of that is just incredibly important.
So why is financial literacy important?
So I think it's safe to say that life will never go according to plan.
Really?
There are always going to be bumps along the road. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be, emergency expenses that relates sort of back to my emergency savings accounts. So it's sort of the goal of financial literacy is to, smooth out the road. It's to create an automatic outflow plan. So you look at those five buckets, where you're going to put your money, and you choose where you're going to allocate it. The key word is automatic. I don't believe budgets are effective for most people. I'm sure they work for some. But if you create a plan in which, you get your paycheck or whatever your income source is, for most Americans it's a paycheck. And then you have automatic payments from – you can even do it for some – employers from your, before the money even hits your bank account, it goes to a retirement account. Mm-hmm. You have automatic payments, so it goes to, a savings account for your saving expenses. So it goes to paying off debt. And this is an example of you taking the active need to do something. So if you have it set up so someone else is doing it, then you are more likely to save and you're more likely to have a better financial future. And this is the essence of financial literacy. I love to engage in dollar cost averaging, which is this aspect where you automatically set it up. So I do it on the first of the month. I mean, it doesn't really matter. You can do it on the 15th. Whatever. Just pick, a certain day of the month. You can do it twice a month. And you set aside money. So it automatically invests in index funds. So index funds are great because they reduce risk in terms, so that there are two types of risk when you're investing, two sort of broad categories. There's systematic risk and unsystematic risk. So systematic risk is the entire stock market collapses like during the 2008 financial crisis. Mm-hmm. And then unsystematic risk is one company collapsing. Okay. So you can't protect your account against systematic risk. Of course, there are some exceptions. There's portfolio insurance, which didn't really work. But there's... You really can't protect against systematic risk if you invest in stocks. But you can protect your account from unsystematic risk if you index. So if you index, you for example, you can't buy the S&P 500, but you can buy a portion of an index fund that tracks the S&P 500. So this fund, what it does is it's passively managed, which means it has lower fees because there's no one actively managing it. So actively managed funds, you pay a higher percentage, but the funds themselves are managed by sort of an outside person. Mm-hmm. And these passive index funds invest in all of the companies that are on whatever index it tracks. So that's where it gets the word, the title index funds. And then this protects against unsystematic risk, because if one company in the S&P 500 doesn't do well, goes out of business, look at Enron, then your account will be protected because the 499 other companies likely didn't go down unless it's a financial crisis, which would fall under systematic risk.
Okay.
And I think one of the things is it's important because, you know, I can sit here and talk about statistics and, you know, X number of Americans don't have this, X number of Americans, da, da, da. But I think you'll find if you go talk to friends and family members about, you know, I'm not saying, you know, go ask personal information, like what's in your retirement account, but, you know, how do you feel about retiring? You know, are you nervous about it? I think you'll find in that what I've found is that most people don't know a lot about financial literacy and don't know a lot about, you know, the importance of having an emergency savings account. And I don't blame someone. I would never expect someone to know something that they're not taught or that they don't know that they have access to. And since, you know, I haven't had a lot of experience through, you know, as much as I love Skidmore. Skidmore is fantastic about helping students get great careers and great jobs in terms of offense. So that's the idea of making money. That's the inflows into your bank account. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the outflows, in terms of defense, there's not a lot of sort of aspects to, you know, formal education system. And I want to say this is not me hating on Skidmore. I love Skidmore, but this is not a problem endemic to Skidmore. This is really across the country.
Right.
There aren't a lot of financial literacy aspects that are part of any formal education system. I major in economics, but you don't need to be an economics major to be an investor. I invested in the stock market before I was an economics major. There are a lot of sort of basic concepts that you can learn as long as you know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think this sort of idea of financial literacy is a prime example of innovation. So, you know, before the dot-com bubble and before the internet, really, to invest, you would need to have gone through a broker, which would have charged high fees. But now with all of these online accounts, now being able to invest on your own really has helped. And especially, you know, looking at the Great Courses, this is an online lecture series. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, I'm not sponsored by the Great Courses, but I genuinely think they are the best financial literacy courses out there that at least I've had access to or exposure to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can do these anywhere. So you have so many resources on your computer to invest and to save for retirement. It's just getting the word out there and getting access to them.
Mm-hmm. So improving access to literacy, to building financial literacy, that led you to pursue a project by building a website.
Absolutely. So I'm going to switch over to the website here on my computer, and you know we'll show it up on the screen here. I've, as I said before, you know, I've always been passionate about financial literacy, but there were really two people who made this project through Skidmore possible. The first one being Professor Brunner. She teaches a bridge class. So at Skidmore, you're required to do a bridge class that helps you gain exposure into social justice issues mm-hmm. across the country. And it was titled Overdue Notice. And one of the things we learned in that class is who are libraries for? You know, who are the constituents of the library? And of the Skidmore College Library, it's mainly Skidmore students. You know, it's geared towards Skidmore students, but it is also open to faculty, staff, and, you know, alumni as well as retirees. And the resources that Skidmore subscribes to are geared towards Skidmore students. So this sort of social justice aspect to this class was the onus for this project. And then I talked to Professor Brunner. This is actually the beginning of this school year, so this has been September 2023, about this whole idea of a financial literacy process. You know, how can Skidmore College improve the resources for its constituency? And it was actually interesting because Skidmore doesn't subscribe to the Great Courses, but through the Saratoga Springs Public Library, which all Skidmore students have access to, then they subscribe to the Great Courses.
Okay.
So I talked to her about, you know, taking, you know, how am I able to do this? You know, how can, you know, I know about this, mm-hmm. But how am I able to get the word out? And she actually recommended me to you, Ben.
Okay.
Of LEDS here at Skidmore College. So, you know, looking at this website here, the goal of it is that it's incredibly simple. You know, I want it to be easy to access, not convoluted. Ben and I even removed the search bars because there are only four pages here. Yeah. So going to the second page here, so financial literacy courses. So, you know, just as a quick walkthrough of the goal behind this is that, you know, you don't have to pay any money to have access to these, in any Skidmore student. So you take the bus from Skidmore, and, you know, it's free to use your Skidmore card, down to Skidmore College, from Case Center down to the Saratoga Springs Public Library, which is in downtown Saratoga Springs. Mm-hmm. Then you get a Saratoga Springs Public Library card. And then you follow these other things. So it's, you know, I won't go too much in depth here, but you create an online account through Canopy, and then you search the great courses. And these three courses I really recommend. These are the very first great courses that I ever watched. And I watched these, you know, throughout the pandemic here. But understanding investments, money management skills, and how to plan for the perfect retirement. I think this is truly the trifecta of, you know, access to courses. So I've worked with a bunch of different offices, and if we go to the acknowledgments page here, as you can see, I talked about Professor Brunner and President Connor. I also worked with the Skidmore Opportunity Program, the Student Government Association, the Social Science Librarian. So this website for the fall, so fall 2024, will be incorporated into the first year experience curriculum, which is where so every Skidmore student is required to take a Scribner class, which is their freshman introduction class. And one of the so the fourth credit hour of the class is designed to allow students the access to you know, adjust to college and everything like that. So this is going to be incorporated in the first year experience.
That's wonderful. Excellent.
And then lastly, I talked to Zach at the Career Development Center to sort of get this included, people that are sort of just getting ready to graduate. I understand, you know, I'm a college student myself. I don't necessarily have the money to, you know, put too much money in my retirement account. But the goal is that if you build these skills when you're in college, and, you know, Skidmore College is fantastic. The Career Development Center is great at helping people to find a job, that then you can use the money that you make in that job to save and then figure out, you know, how much to allocate to retirement, how much to plan.
Mm-hmm. Julian Wise, thank you so much for creating this website and for coming on the podcast.